That left another question. When Apple allowed the iPod to be compatible with Windows machines, should it also create a version of iTunes to serve as the music management software for those Windows users? As usual, Jobs believed the hardware and software should go together. The user experience depended on the iPod working in complete sync, so to speak, with iTunes software on the computer. Schiller was opposed. "I thought that was crazy, since we don't make Windows software," Schiller recalled. But Steve kept arguing, "If we're going to do it, we should do it right." Schiller prevailed at first. Apple decided to allow the iPod to work with Windows by using software from Music Match, an outside company. But the software was so clunky that it proved Jobs's point, and Apple embarked on a fast-track effort to produce iTunes for Windows. Jobs recalled, "To make the iPod work on PCs, we initially partnered with another company that had a jukebox, gave them the secret sauce to connect to the iPod, and they did a crappy job. That was the worst of all worlds, because this other company was controlling a big piece of the user experience. So we lived with this crappy outside jukebox for about 6 months, and then we finally got iTunes written for Windows. In the end, you just don't want someone else to control a big part of the user experience. People may disagree with me, but I am pretty consistent about that."